Good morning. So glad to see everyone here. In the month of December, we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior. I felt like I had leave to I'm going to do a series up through Christmas and probably past. But why God became a man. I read a good book by an author named Ken Ham who compared the way that Peter preached to the way Paul preached. And he said Peter was speaking to a group that were biblically literate. They grew up reading the Bible. And so he was able to preach to them in a way that they understood what he was talking about, where Paul, when he preached to the Greeks, they didn't know anything about the Bible. And therefore, Paul would use expressions in their own language and culture to share the gospel. And Kim Han called it gospel reset. He said the churches have to quit assuming that everybody knows the creation story and the fall. He said, you know, we got to start at the basics. And I think it's a good idea in the church, as Peter said ever so often, to be reminded of the basics. Sometimes we can get so caught up in other things, we forget the basics. We want to start arguing theology. And Paul said those are foolish arguments. All they do is cause strife. So, well, something else. It was brought to my attention that sometimes my preaching is a little harsh in the delivery, and I want to apologize for that. I do have anger issues. I have PTSD, and anger is one of the most prominent signs that men have of depression. You know, you can get weepy or you can get angry. So I've been praying about it, and I told this person I will do my best not to let that interfere with the way I preach. I believe our church is on the path to healing now. I think that's what God's will is. So that's where I'm heading. The text I chose this morning is Genesis 3, 1 through 15. I've entitled this The Fall. That's what we're going to talk about. The fall of man. All right. Let me get my eyes on. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Father, I thank you for your word, that it is truth. It always accomplishes what you send it out to do. Lord, these are not a compilation of antiquated stories or myths, but your word is truth. You said when the heavens and the earth pass away, your word will endure. And I thank you, Lord, for the anchor we have in that. And as we talk today about the fall of man and a woman, I pray you will open our hearts and our eyes. Lord, your word says we should be ready to give an answer to those who ask us of the reason for what we believe. And I fear many of us can't at times, Lord. Help us to desire the sincere milk of your word, as Peter said, that by it we may grow up into salvation. For our salvation, Lord, is not a one-time thing, but it's a lifetime thing. And we will grow until the day that we die and are called to come home to you. I ask your blessing on every person here in Jesus' name. Amen. This may seem a little strange to bring up on Christmas, but I do have a purpose in this. And we're starting out talking about the fall and why did God become a man. Now, some churches argue that God didn't, but the Word is full of proof that it was God who became a man. But today we're going to talk about why. We're going to talk about the fall. God had created the heavens and the earth, everything in them. He created the seas, everything in it. God separated light from the brighter light in the day and the darker light at night. He created time for us. He didn't need time, but we do. He said he set the stars in the heavens for times and seasons. And he made a man in his image out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils and the man became a living being. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And when the man became a living being, he was very intelligent. He was made in the image of God. And he named all the animals. Now that's something. That wasn't some Neanderthal going, "Ugh." This guy was so intelligent, God said, "Whatever you call them animals, that's what we'll call them." Because he had given man dominion over the whole earth. Over all of his creation, he set man above it. And said, "You're going to rule this." And it said after he named the animals, God noticed that there wasn't a suitable helper for him. And he said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper to help him." One Baptist preacher I used to listen to, Dr. Jack Hiles, said the Hebrew there means completer. God looked at the man and said, "He's not quite complete." Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that psychology has determined over about a 20-year period in the study of the male-female brain that where the male brain is dominant, the female brain is weaker, but where the female brain is dominant, the male brain is weaker. And they came to the conclusion that a family is the best off with both people because they said they have the whole brain. So God made us that way on purpose. He wired us that way. And God said, there's some attributes I haven't given to the man, but I'm going to give to the woman. Women's intuition is one of them. And he took a rib out of the man, made the woman, and I know you're saying, "Man, you're preaching to the choir, dude. We know all about this." But as Peter said, it's good to go back over it. He made the woman, he brought her to the man, and the first marriage in history was done. That's why I can say without any fear of contradiction, a marriage is between one man and one woman because that's the way God designed it. He didn't make him a fishing buddy. He didn't call Spot over there and say, "There's your friend, Adam. There's your keeper." He made the woman. And he brought her to the man, and the man said, "She'll be called woman because she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And God said what I say at every wedding I've ever done, the two become one. All right. And it says God looked at them and they were very good. Wow. At the beginning of his creation, the first man and woman God put on this planet said they were very good. Isn't that amazing? It is to me. Because people tell me, how can you serve this God you claim is good when there's so much bad in the world and he lets all this bad stuff happen? Well, he does allow bad things to happen, but it was never part of his plan. You don't make two good people. And he told him to have kids. He said, I want you to multiply, replenish the earth, fill it. And his plan was never for what we see today, the suffering and the stuff that we see today. But people want to blame God, and it's not God's fault. It's ours. Lay square on our shoulders. And I've told people that before, and they get very offended at that, a lot of people. You tell me it's my fault, well, I'm saying it's our fault. You see, in the middle of the tree, God placed two trees. One was the tree of life. If you ate that, you live forever. The other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would God put a tree like that in there? Because the knowledge was already here. And God gave us a free will to choose. Okay? And he told the man and woman, don't eat off of that tree. They could have ate off the tree of life and lived forever. I've heard it said, well, they didn't know about death. Phooey. Somebody intelligent enough to know about animals could comprehend what death was. But God didn't want robots. He said, don't eat off that tree or you'll die. Now the serpent comes in. I think Adam and Eve are standing there looking at the tree, and the serpent said, did God say you couldn't eat any tree in here? He kind of diverted their attention, and Eve said, no. He said, just this tree, because we'll die. And the servant said, you're not going to die. God's lying to you. God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And let me reiterate something. There was no nature of sin involved in this. I'm sorry, I hate that doctrine. I think it's heresy. But a lot of churches teach it as the truth. All of us have a nature of sin, therefore we sin. Adam and Eve didn't have a nature of sin. The Bible says they were very good. What did they have? Huh? A choice. Yes. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Yeah, a choice. Well, why did God put that tree in there? Because the knowledge was there. And it said when the woman saw the tree was good to look at, it was pretty, you know. It looks nice. It doesn't look poison. And that it was good for food and desired to make one wise. Who gave her those attributes? The appreciation of beauty and food and wisdom. God, yeah. We give Satan the ammunition to tempt us. James said that. I did. He said we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. And he knows our desires, you know. And I think Adam and Eve had probably been talking for some time about, I wonder why we can't eat off that tree. I mean, everything else we can eat but that tree, we're not supposed to touch it. And instead, Adam was right there with her. I think they were standing by the tree talking about it, and the snake popped up and said, hey, Satan always uses doubt. That's how he starts things. Did God really say? Okay. So they ate the fruit, and it said immediately their eyes were open, and they knew what? They were naked. They were naked before this happened, but it didn't bother them. And now they knew they were naked. And they sewed aprons together and put them on. And when they heard God walking in the garden for the first time in their lives, they hid from him. Can you imagine having God come down and walk with you every day? That's why he created us. He wants fellowship with us. We're his creation. He loves us. Every day he came to the earth and walked around the garden with them, talked with them. But that time Adam hid. Sin separates. Yeah. Adam's sin was willful. Eve's was deceived. She was honest, you know. She said, well, the snake tricked me. I heard one preacher the other day said, oh, that word in Hebrew, beguiled, it's a good word. It means seduced. And he implied that Eve and the serpent got together and had a child of Satan. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's not what happened. He said, the serpent tricked me. Adam used the scapegoat. The woman that you gave me, I didn't ask for her. You gave her to me. But in essence, Adam just said, well, I loved her more than I did you, God. Who'd they both love more than they love God? Themselves. You see, you don't need a sin nature. We're very egocentric and worse after the fall. I don't like when other churches say, well, all men know is evil. Until they're regenerated by the Holy Ghost, they don't know good, they just know evil. Well, then that's the best excuse in the world to sin and not to come to Christ, because God wouldn't judge you if that was the truth. He'd say, well, that's all they know. That's their whole nature is evil. But God didn't say that. Okay. Now, if you brought your Bibles, you can turn with me. If you didn't, that's all right, because I haven't asked you to bring your Bibles in quite a while. But it'd be a good idea during this series to bring the Word with you. What happened when Adam and Eve fell? Romans chapter 5. If you got your Bible and you want to turn there, if you don't, that's all right. It won't be on the screen because I didn't get this ready like this for the girls. Romans verses 5, verse 12. Paul here is talking about the reconciliation between us and God through Jesus Christ, God's grace. But he lays down some groundwork here. He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For indeed, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now, there's a very important word there. Transgression. Sin, in the Greek and the Hebrew, sin means to miss the mark, to deviate. A transgression is something that's committed against a known law. Okay? There was no written law when he made Adam and Eve. God didn't even. Paul told Timothy the law wasn't written for righteous people. It was written for sinners. Okay? So the Apostle Paul very plainly says sin and death entered the world. What does that tell us? There wasn't any there before that. Even over those who did not sin like Adam, who broke a transgression. He became a transgressor. There was one law for the man and the woman. Don't eat off that tree. And God explained why. You will die. Now, I've heard a lot say they were immortal till they ate the tree. I don't believe that. That's just my personal opinion. Because why would he have put the tree of life there if they were immortal? It wouldn't have been needed. But what death did they die? Spiritual, right off the bat. Wham. How do I know that? How should you know that? Because it said when God came into the garden, they hid. Yeah. They were scared. We say that. I was a scared. You know, I don't hear kids say that anymore. That's probably because they're getting trained better. But they were afraid. Afraid of God for the first time in their lives. Guilty. Those of you who have raised children, You've seen that look. When they're little bitty and they do something they know better than doing, and you approach them and say, did you eat that cookie? No. And they can't look at you. They're like this. Or they just drop their head and go, no. Why is there crumbs all over your shirt? I don't know. That's what we do. I don't know. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Paul said sin and death came into the world, just what God said was going to happen. So now, whose fault is it that sin came into the world? Ours. Man and woman. So I said that to say this. If you get next to somebody here sometime, and they say, how could your good God let all this go on? You can say, God didn't do that. We did. And they always bounce back. It's funny how unbelievers know the word in some places. Well, then why did he put a tree of knowledge of good and evil there? I'm not God. You're going to have to ask him that. I can only speculate, and my speculation is because the knowledge was already there. Okay? So Paul said in Romans, sin and death came into the world. Wham! That's what happened. It messed up God's perfect creation. We'll see that here in a few minutes. So, what does that mean, sin came into the world? Now, that's a theological question that'll get you a 500-page dissertation if you ain't careful. Everybody's got their opinions, and by golly, theirs are right. I say, let's see what the Word says, okay? In the same book here, Romans, in chapter 1, Paul writes about man after the fall. Man and woman. When I say man, I'm saying man and woman, mankind. In Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. How can you suppress something you don't know? Think about that. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Plain to who? Men. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Oh, wow. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. I learned in Bible college, this is called natural theology. Paul is saying there is enough in nature for a man or a woman to look at and realize this isn't just a big boom. This is very well designed. And they said that's why God did what he did. He gave us the gray matter to figure it out, you know. And it said they didn't give him the glory that was due him. They knew him. Now, I'm not saying they were godly people, but they knew God. They knew about God. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Whose fault was that? Theirs. Yeah. If you know God, but you don't honor him as God, there's only one other choice. What do? You pick another God. And we're going to see this is what happened to men. He said, verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And the scriptures say that God at one time winked at that because they didn't know. Nobody'd seen him except Adam and Eve. So they said, well, I think God's a bird. I think God's in everything. Deism. I think he's in a tree. I think he's in a rock. So I'm going to worship a rock because then I'm worshiping God. So Paul was talking about idolatry. That's where it came from. Because if you don't worship the true God, you're going to worship. Because see, we're made to worship. Did you know that? We are made to have fellowship with the Almighty. But if we choose not to, we try to put other things in that space in our heart. Because there's a big old void in us. And that's why worshiping false gods doesn't please people. Alcohol, food, drugs, sex, whatever, it won't please you like the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. It's empty. We'll see here what else man turned to. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Are we creatures? Yes. We're created creatures. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, anyone who is in Christ, the Greek says, is a new creation, a new creature. So what God did these men choose? The flesh, self. I'm God. Isn't that what Satan promised them in the garden? You'll be just like God. You'll know good and evil. And here Paul points out that this is a willful choice that people make. Oh, that whole church thing just bums me out. I don't like to think about fires of hell and judgment. So I'm going to follow me. Simple Man, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I love that song. But his mom says, follow your heart and nothing else. I go, you're wrong, lady. The heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. I used to believe that before I came to Christ. And when my eyes were open, I realized, no, don't follow your heart, because my heart led me into all kinds of things. I worship the creature. That's what we're doing. See, we didn't get a sin nature. We got a self nature. We changed gods. Why is the Bible call Satan the god of this world? He's the god of this world by our choice. Yeah. And he's still very active in our affairs today. Now, he's not like God. He can't be everywhere at once, but he's got a third of an innumerable company of angels helping him, and we're all assigned demons. I believe that just as much as I believe we're assigned angels to watch over us. I think the devil has demons assigned to harass Christians. There's plenty of them out there preaching right now. Man, just go online. Well, don't do it. But I was online the other day, and I saw this guy, and I thought, my God, there's a child of the devil if I ever saw one. Well, you have no right to judge that. Well, I might not. Okay, so I'll get off of that and get back over here. So what happened at the fall? Literally, Adam and Eve said, we think we know what's best for us, God. And even though you said not to eat that fruit, that we're going to die, we're going to take a chance. We're going to roll the dice on this. And spiritual death was immediate. They lost their fellowship. Now, God continued talking to people all the way up to Noah. That's why I don't buy that man now is inherently evil and that's all he knows. We're going to see that in a minute through the scriptures. Stick to the word. And if the doctrine of men does not go with the word, then what should you throw out? The doctrine of men. Okay. So what happened at the fall? What came into the world? Sin and death. Yeah. Sin's not an entity. It's not a spirit. It means the act of sin came into the world. Man opened the door and said, I'm going to be my God. I'm going to do what I want to do. And God said, well, that's the agreement I made with you. And you can have this if this is what you want. But he said, you're not going to like it. What came with sin? Death. Consequences. Yeah. Consequences. I get so tired of hearing people in the gay pride thing, you know, well, we're made this way, and no, you're not. Why would God make you that way and then condemn you for being that way? It's just another way of saying it's God's fault. It's not mine. We'll close with the rest of this chapter. We already read where in verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. I almost kicked that over. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. We'll get more into this as we go through this month. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. The literal Hebrew way, understand it, God says, you're going to want your husband's position as leader, but you can't have it. So ladies, get mad at God. You know, if you think that's unfair, man was made first. Whose fault is it that childbearing is painful? Mama Eve. Yep. God said it's going to be painful now. And he said, you're going to want to wear the pants in the family, but I'm saying no. You know. Now that isn't a power struggle. Stop and think. There was no power struggle between these two before the fall. They were co-rulers, equals. That's how God made them. I don't think Adam looked at him and said, by golly, my word's law and you'll do it. You know, they read each other. They were intimate. They were one. And God said, now because of the fall, what's come in? Rebellion. Yeah. He's not putting Eve down. He's saying now that sin's come in here, rebellion will be predominant in relationships. Men are bad about wanting to be number one. You know, more so than women, I think. But I see women becoming more aggressive in this age, and not in good ways. All right. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return. Physical death. Now that's why some say it wasn't here before the fall. I think it was, but I think this fall quickened it. God said, Adam, you're going to work hard till you die. Another curse of sin. Not work. Thorns and thistles. There weren't any thorns and thistles on the earth until that happened. Sin really messed God's creation up. Yeah, it did. It really jacked with his creation. And we still got people today blaming God. It's all God's fault. No. You couldn't ask for a better life, man. In a garden, everything you needed to eat was there. He put them in there to work the ground, so there was work to be done. I don't know what it was. But evidently they were happy at it until Satan said, you're being cheated. So they said, we're going to do it our way. And God said, well, here's what goes with it. Here's the consequences to your choice. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Eve means life giver. That's a nice name. My wife is life giver. The Lord made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So what happened? Huh? First sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. God didn't just walk up and take them clothes off the animals and let them run around naked. He killed them. Their blood had to be shed. And he took their garments and he quick tanned them as only God could. Their hides, I mean, and he made clothes out of them. He clothed their nakedness. There's the mercy of God. Can't have you run around leaves. So he did the first sacrifice. He shed blood because of their sin. It had to be shed. Then the Lord God said, pay attention to this. Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. So was Satan telling the truth? If you eat that tree, you'll know good and evil like God? Yeah, he was. He didn't lie about that. See, that's how he works. He mixes truth in with lies. And that's what can confuse us. Satan can quote the Bible. And he can tempt you with Scripture. Kind of put a little twist on it and say, oh yeah, that's God's will. So he wasn't lying. He said, when you eat that, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. What'd God say? Now he's like one of us. He knows good and evil. How can we be like him? We're in his image. But that was one thing God withheld from man. What if they'd ate the tree of life? Jesus said, what is eternal life but to know you, the only true God? I think they'd have had all that knowledge in the positive way, the safe way. Don't let somebody tell you. Now, you can if you want to believe it. That man became so depraved all he knew was evil. That's not what God said. He didn't say, well, man, all man knows is evil. What did he say? He knows good and evil. What's he choose? Evil. Why? Because he's self-centered. All sin's about self. You think about that. All sin is about pleasing ourselves, usually at the expense of others. Okay? When I sold drugs, I didn't care if it hurt you. I was making money. Okay? That's sin. The Bible says, woe to those who make money off of iniquity, who make a profit off of iniquity. I was one of them. And now what hurts me so bad as a believer is when I look back and realize that that's one of the most selfish things I ever did with my life. Because it was all about me. I remember one kid in Ava burned his brain up and they had to put him in a mental institute. And I knew the guy that he got the stuff from. And I said, don't you feel kind of bad? He said, I didn't tell him to buy it. He said, I didn't tell that idiot to take that much. It's his own fault. That's sin. That's the sin nature, if you want to call it that, the self nature. It's all about me. And don't think that you're above anybody, because later on in Romans, Paul quotes the scripture where God said, no one is righteous. No, not one. That's why we're not supposed to look down our nose at anybody. God said, no one seeks God. I better finish this. We're getting ready to close. He said, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he stretch out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And it stops right there. And the commentator said in the Hebrew, it's immediate. God stops in mid-sentence and drives him out. Could you imagine Nero and Domitian and Hitler and Genghis Khan and all those guys in history still being alive? And you being alive forever in that condition, self-centeredness? Man, you talk about wicked. And God said, we can't let him die in that condition. Or let him live immortal in that condition. That's mercy when you think about it. So what happened in the fall? Simply sin and death came into the world. Man and woman lost the fellowship with God. And we're going to learn through this that we couldn't reconcile ourselves. You can't be good enough. And I hear people talking about, well, when I go to heaven or when I go to the judgment, God will measure my good against my bad, and if my good outweighs my bad. No, if you got any bad, you'll answer for it. The scripture says that. So, at the fall, sin and death entered this world. It wasn't God's doing. Man did it. We lost fellowship with him. We became our own gods. The Bible says we began to worship the creature rather than the Creator. I told you, when I finally quit smoking pot, the Holy Spirit said, that's an idol. That's how he dealt with me. That's a god. You're putting that god before me, and you can't have any other gods. I just felt like God was saying, you better make a choice right now. Because I was playing with it back and forth as a Christian. It's okay to get high once in a while and relax, you know. Helps take my stress level down. And God said, I'm the one that wants to relax you. I'm the one that will give you peace that the world can't give. See, you're still looking for the world's peace. And Christians, we really got a problem. We try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven, and you can't do that. God doesn't do it. He says, no, you can't do that. You're either with me or you're against me. Man became against God in the fall. And we're going to find out later that we couldn't fix it. We tried. You know, there's people that try to be good people. I hear that. Well, I try to be a good person. Well, you better give up on that. Because you ain't, and neither am I. I'm not a good man. I'm a redeemed man. Praise the Lord. One day I'll be good. When I get my new body, won't be any sin there. It won't be all about me. It'll be all about Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to be worshiping Him. I believe that with all my heart. Would you stand this morning? I didn't plan any song of invitation. Not going to do that. I'm just going to ask you to think about what we've talked about today. The scriptures are there. You can look at them yourself. I'm not trying to get you to think like me, but I am trying to get you to think. You know, we need to think. Who knows? I might be wrong. You might be able to get there and say, wait a minute, you're off base here. Well, if I am, come and tell me. I want to close with prayer. As soon as I find out who's got the closing prayer. Who has closing prayer? Brother Wayne. I'm sorry. I had that right here in front of me. I must have sucked it up into my notes or something. God bless you. I hope you have a great evening, a great week. And I hope you come to realize that, you know, as I said, none of us are good. Sometimes when we get saved, we get a little sanctimonious and think, well, I don't do that anymore. But Paul said, why do you glory as though you didn't receive it? We receive that from the Holy Spirit. He changes our hearts one day at a time. If you don't know Him and you want to come to know Christ, come talk to me after the service. We'll sit down and talk about it, about the plan of redemption and salvation. Brother Wayne, would you close for us, please?
Heavenly Father, we come to You grateful for the love You have for us. Father, we just thank You for this time together, Your presence here. We thank You for the message that was given. Help us to take it home and to study it and to think about it and meditate upon it so that we can grow and become stronger and closer to You. I ask and offer prayer for the sick that are among our group and those who have issues in their lives, Lord. We pray Your blessings on them. Even those who tend to them, we thank You for the miracles and the healings that have happened in our group recently. We ask You to continue to do that as You see our needs. Help us to go to a separate place of abode and seek Your guidance and Your direction. Forgive us when we fail You. Help us to come home in the right time. In Christ we pray. Amen.